site that we have, oldest village site we have here. And it's not a village site anymore because it's been industry that changed it. And we're still struggling to get this land back. We're still struggling to get it in our possession, either that or have some say over this park. We want to have some say over this park. Because it's all our land. Nobody asked us if they could have it. They didn't buy it and they didn't pay us anything for it. It's still ours. So we still consider it to be ours. Under the Treaty of 1852, we have rights on here. Because all village sites were to be protected. And this is the first village site of the first man. And a lot of the evidence of that village has been coursed, stripped away, because they don't want us to have this place. But I said that I fought for the key for the, myself and a group of our people fought for this key. And when they set up this park, they didn't want to give us a key. And so I said, well, we'll be there. You're to give us a key on Monday. We'll be there at the gate. If you don't want us to take the gate down or destroy the gate, bring us a key. We'll be there. We gave them a time. We'll be there at 4 o'clock. So we'll be there. And we left it at that. So when they arrived, we were banging it up with a sledgehammer. And he comes running out of his car. Don't break it, don't break it. I got a key for you. So this is our key and our access to this. So we still bring our kids from the school here. We have a school and within the community. It's just half a mile away from here. And we bring them down here. And they're actively involved in planting plants in here and bringing more of the natural trees back to here again. And we have a greenhouse where they grow little trees and then they bring it down here and they plant it. And we tell them the history of this place. This is a small little inlet, this one. Goes out about, the best place to come in here is by canoe. If you could come by canoe, it would be the best. And because as you enter the inlet, it starts to close in on you like this. And it's a quiet inlet. And it's a sacred place, this place. And you can feel it when you're coming by boat. You can't tell by land, really. If you come in by canoe, it's the best way. Nice and quiet. And there's a little stream up there. There's a little stream up there at the end of this inlet. And if we had more time, I could take you there. But it won't happen today. There's a little stream there. Its name is Huachacha. Huachacha means the little awakener. The little awakener, Huachacha. And our people have bathed in there in the cold weather, the winter weather, bathing in the cold water. To us, because our ancestors' name is rain, water is our strength. Water is our strength. So we pray with water. We speak to the water like a human being when we do our prayer. So it's bringing to our Tlamaksiyam. It's bringing to our Tiyan, the Huachatang, Tekutangas. Grandfather, rain, wash me, wake me, strengthen me today. Something like that. And whatever people, whatever they want to say it. And so that's one of the winter streams. And it's a cold little stream, really cold. And it strengthens you. You immerse yourself in there. And when a young man becomes a young man, changes his voice, we have to take them out there and put them in there. So they know that their mind is stronger than their body because they're going to go through that developmental stage of becoming a young man. That they have their sexuality is going to be strong and they have to have control of themselves and they have to have a strong mind. So that's part of the process of growing up here in this area. I took my kids and all my nephews out when they were young and put them in the cold water because that's our way of life, to strengthen them. And the women will take the women out. The women will take the young ladies out to do the same kind of a thing somewhere to strengthen themselves as people. And so this land was taken over by industry and it was they were looking for lime. So they had a lime quarry here, a big lime quarry just back here. There's a big Butchart's Gardens with a world-class tourist attraction. They make millions of dollars every year here with people coming to see this place. And they have a big sunken garden there, which the sunken garden actually is or was a quarry. a quarry for lime. And when they started blasting for that lime, those birds I was talking about, they left here. They left here. They couldn't hatch their eggs. Their eggs wouldn't hatch anymore. So they moved to the hills. They moved away from here. So there's very few here now. And this little inlet, it was full of clam beds on both sides. Clam beds, lots of clams, good food in here. And about 5 different kinds of fish will come in here. And this is a protected inlet. So it doesn't matter which hard winds blow, whichever direction, you could always come in here and get food, fresh food, for the family, for the people, for the elders. And the young men would paddle in here and get fish, and then they'd load their canoe and they'd bring it to the village, the newer village over there. That was founded back in 1700. And they bring their canoes in, and the elders would come down and pick whatever fish they wanted out of their boat. And that was a blessing for the youth to be doing that, feeding the young people. That was our way of life here. And so they fished in and out of this inlet here. But it's also a doorway where that mountain goes down right there. If you go in there, there's an old trail that goes up into the mountains there. And I've been up in those. There's lots, see these little hills here? There's lots of little hills up in there. And that place we call Khmayasang. It means place of deer, the deer's home. Lots of deer in there. And so our people came in here in the winter time, and when the weather was rough, and they came in here, and they went up there to get lots of food. They got the grouse, they got the deer, there's lots of camps. I've been on all these hills when I was younger, on hunting. And I know there's lots of deer beds, all along steep there. And there's deer beds by those trees all along here. A deer likes to sleep with a tree behind him, like that. And he can see all around him, but he's got a tree behind him. And so there's lots of deer beds in here. I saw them when I was younger. So lots of deer. I got my first deer up here when I was young. And so this is like a fresh storage of food for our people here in the winter months. So we live on this peninsula, but it's this side and the other side where you came from. Those are just village sites. This is one. There's 4 main village sites remaining on the peninsula here. But we're really one tribe. So when they wanted to control us, they divided us into the 4. And instead of being one tribe, we're 4 village sites. And the government funds those 4 village sites. And it kind of keeps us apart in a way, you know. Kind of keeps us apart. So that's what's happening with that. And it's always been a struggle. And it's been a great struggle to remain Kusanich. Our language nearly went extinct, and it's still in danger, very in danger. I've been working in language preservation for the last 40 years, and my father before me. My father wrote an alphabet for our language. It was my job to take that alphabet to the digital age. I brought it to the digital age, and now we can type it and text it and all that other business nowadays. But our language nearly went extinct here, St. Charles. And it's the language of all the Straits Salish people that lived inside in the Straits. Yeah. So before I go too far, I wanted to do a song because this is going to get cold. Once this gets cold, it won't sound like a drum anymore. And so we used the deer skin because the deer was one of the first ones that Creator changed when he walked the land with our people. And was a young man living out in one of the islands. And Creator was making different animals, birds, and mountains, and places, this young man, he's living with his grandparents, because his parents had been deceased for some reason, probably war. And so his grandparents are trying to raise him. They were raising him, and they were trying to give him teachings, and he used to say, I already know that. You taught me that already. He didn't want to hear his grandparents. He didn't have patience for his grandparents. And then he said, and when Chelos comes around here, he won't be changing me, because if he comes here, I'm going to kill him. And I'm going to make an arrow point, and I'll shoot him. And I'll stab him with this knife, he said. I'll cut his throat. And so it was on a beach over in a little island called Fernando, about 7 miles from here. And so Creator came by a canoe that day, Kyles we call him. And he walked up and the young boy was working on his arrow points and making arrows. And Creator walked up and he said to him, "Distinguished Charity and Uncle Smyers," he said. "What are you doing here today, Smyers?" His name was Smyers. And he was chasing the sheep and the soup. "Why?" said the Kyles. "What's in that tetchel?" He says, "Health comes around here, I'm going to slit his throat," he said, "and I'm not going to be changed." And so Kyle said, "It's wrong for you, Smyeth, to have that in your mind and in your heart, to want to kill just for the sake of killing. It's not right. Today I will change you," he said, "and you will be become the hunted one from now on," he told him. "And you will always be listening for your life throughout time," he said. So we changed him to the deer, right there on that island. And that's why we put that on our drum. It's one of our first laws about not to kill just for the sake of killing. We do kill for food, for survival, but not for the sake of killing. That's why it's always a reminder that it's on the drum. And it's on a circle like this to remind us of unskill. Unskill is a law that our people live by. Unspell is what you do in life, whether it's positive or negative, will return to you one day. It'll return to your family, and you will recognize it in your lifetime. If you do positive here, it'll come around, it'll affect your own life and your own family. If you were mean, unkind, and cruel, that's going to come around, it's going to meet you again. That's the law we call unspell here in Santa, that our people are living by, that Creator gave us in the old days. And so that's why we have that on our skin of that deer on, to remind us of those laws of those days. I want to sing you a song of protection for you and your visiting our homeland. Welcoming you once more into our homeland, the land that the Creator gave us to walk. Just the same, a little prayer for you. So wherever you go, you'll have a nice light on your path. Your way will be open and free for you to walk, and no one will get hurt in any way. That's my prayer. And welcome you to this place. And thank you for coming down to this old place. We're still fighting for this place. We're going to get it back. That's the way it's going to be. It's going to be that. We're going to have control of this park. Maybe they don't think so yet, but they're going to find out. That's the way it's going to be, because that's the way it's meant to be. It's our home. It's our home. There used to be a fence that went right over this land. A handmade fence, right over the top. It goes out into the water, which is a big inlet like this, but a bigger inlet. And on that land, our people put their livestock. When they started getting livestock, even after the white people came, they were already using this as a place for keeping livestock. They kept sheep and horses and a couple of cows out there, and while they were away fishing. And then when they come back, they go out and find it and bring it back to the village over there. So it was a fenced land, and it can be proven that it was a fenced land. Some of the fences are still up there in those hills. I've seen it when I was hunting up there. So we can win that. We'll win that. When you go out this inlet, there's a little island out there. It's called Smelapa. At the very front of this inlet, this little skin, tiny little inlet, and it's called Smelapa. It means burial island. That's where the original man was buried, right there on that island. And somebody's living on that island now. They put a house on that island. Somebody's living on it, some big shot, living on it. He's got a lot of money, I guess. And I don't know what he did with their ancestors' bones, but there was lots of ancestors' bones out there on that island. It's not right what they did to our people. Here and around the world, it's not right. And one day, it's going to come right around. Going to come right around and visit them, what has happened throughout the Mother Earth. The many people that have suffered that kind of oppression, suppression. Our people were punished, and my mother's 95 years old. When she was 4 years old, she was put into a boarding school for 11 years. Take away her language, and punished in many, many ways. And many of our people, when they came out of those boarding schools, they drank themselves to death because they didn't know how to deal with that trauma. You know, they were broken away from their families. They had no language. They were not allowed to speak their language or mutter a song or sing a song or things like that. And when they came home, I saw them when I was a kid drinking themselves to death, and I didn't know what was wrong with them. I just saw them die one by one by one. It's a sad thing to think about. Some of those things we have seen and grown up with here. What do we call this? Free Canada. We call this a free Canada. But Canada is as bad as any other place that's been mean to people. They've been mean to our people. 50,000 of our children died in the boarding school. Died there, killed them, buried them, murdered them. My neighbor next door, he's an old man now. When he was a young boy, they used to make him throw the babies into the furnace, the ones that were aborted from the nuns and the young girls. And you look at him and you wonder why he's the way he is. You know, he has a struggle with little children and being around children, you know. And I talked to a young man one night and he showed me his leg. He had scars right to the bone. They had him hanging upside down in those boarding schools. Make him lick his food out of a bowl because they wanted to stop him from speaking his language. And he said the other one's boys died, so they took them, they dragged them out, and they threw them in a manhole. And they went out to sea in a little stream under there. But I lived, he said. My buddies all got dragged out in a sack, he said. Like they were nothing. That's Canada. That's our experience here. And we are still here today, and we're not leaving. We're going to be here for a long time to come. Our language is alive. It's not gone, and it's not disappearing. It's still here, and we're teaching it in our school. We have a school up here, and we call Shevamuk School out. It means our survival school, our language will survive. And our children are starting to talk the language again, and they're singing in the language. And it brings me great joy. I saw the young teachers at a train, and I saw them teaching. Now they have university degree, and they know our language because of the struggle we've been through. And I see them talking and teaching their little kids in the immersion setting. And those little kids are answering back and speaking and asking questions and singing songs in the language. And I cried because I was so joyful to see that. We talk about resilience. That's resilience. Mm-hmm. And we're not giving up. And we're not losing. We're not going to lose. It'll have to kill us all to have us be gone. Because we're not ready to go. We're not going to give up ever. You know, and our language will survive. And the Great Spirit hears my words today. He hears my words. He hears the words of the people around the world that have suffered. That have suffered. And we're going to live a long time yet. Yeah. I always say to my young students, I'm leading you into Sinchotan language freedom land. You're going to be free when you can think and express yourself and create songs and stories in your own mother tongue again. It's okay to be First Nations. It's okay to be Sandwich. Mm-hmm. Don't be ashamed. They taught us to be ashamed of our own selves, our own history. Don't be ashamed. That's what I do. And I've been doing that for years now, myself and my sister. I wish she was here with me. But we've been going for 40 years. My father and elders before us that we saw all pass away. It must have been 50 years of accumulated efforts to keep the language alive when those elders, you know. And it hasn't been easy. And you know, Canada could snap their finger like that and make it easy for us. You know, they could. But they have an underlying policy in Canada that there must be extinguishment of our people, our histories, trying to wipe us out forever, you know. And every government that come and went so far hasn't really helped us, you know. It could be easy, but they don't make it easy for us at all. We always struggle for money to teach teachers, to create programs, housing, and everything else. And you know, we were the richest people on earth in the natural state of the land. I talked about how wealthy this land was here. And the ladies could just go out and pick the grouse on it, put it in the basket and feed the families. Deer were everywhere. The streets were full of salmon. My father said when he paddled out to the middle of the streets when he was 17, that would be in 1927. He paddled out there just to watch the salmon go by the millions. He said there were so many salmon jumping in the streets, they looked like they were hanging in the air. By the millions, a billion of salmon. No, we don't get any. This year we didn't get any fish. Last year we got a few. But it's always a struggle. It's always a struggle. We're always struggling against development, and we're always struggling against, you know, just to remain who we are. To remain who we are, the Sandwich people. And they called us the Saltwater people. My father wrote a book and called it us the Saltwater people because this peninsula home is just our winter home and our main home is out in all those islands. Because they go back to creation times when the Creator took some of our people and He threw them out there into the straits and He changed them to those islands. And they became those islands. They threw them, as He threw them out there, He said, look after your relatives, look after your relatives. And they landed in different places in the streets between here and the mainland, and they became those islands. And when he had finished throwing the last one, he turned and he said to the people remaining, and you will also look after your relatives of the deep. So we call an island Tatleches. It means island always, but it also means relative of the deep. Because of that became a law for us. And that's what our people were doing in that time when the white people came here. We were looking after our relatives of the deep. We went to each place. Each family had a fishing location where they could fish, they could hunt, they could pick berries, gather seagull eggs, or whatever they wanted to do. Camp, have a fire, whatever they wanted to do anywhere. We were free people. Free people. Yeah. We're heading back to that understanding of being able to be a free people in our own way again. It's okay to, when I was young, I had to learn my language like a second language because my parents wouldn't speak to me at home because my mother was punished so severely when she was young. And my father said, no, we have to teach the young people. So he developed a writing system and he made us, myself and my sister, learn. And he gathered all the remaining, there was only 18 of them left, of real fluent first language speakers. And we worked with them all until they all passed. And we put all the resources together for language. And through the language, we understand our view of this world and how we connect to all things, like the stories I'm telling you. There's only a couple of stories I'm telling you. We have stories about everything is and how it came to be. And there's a law with it, or a rule with it. And that's our land really is our Bible. Mm. Our land is our Bible. And when they wanted to take our land away out in those places, and they saw where we got our canoes, and so they went and they felled those trees and they just burned them. Huge big trees from here to that lady here across on the bottom, that thick. Mm. And they just knocked them down and burned them so we wouldn't have them, be able to go out to our territory anymore. Yeah. Oh, I shouldn't tell you all those things. You probably know it all from your own experiences. But that's what we've been through. That's what we've been through. But we're not letting go. Our young people are getting strong. Our language is going to live. We have lots of young people coming up that are speaking the language. Young teachers, young parents. And it's like an awakening in our community. Yeah. I feel hopeful. I feel hopeful. Mm. But the only thing is I'm getting older. Heck with it. Okay, that's enough.
Okay, stop. Thank you, Tom. Thank you. Need you to unlock.
I was here, John Elliott, back in 1997, 1999, and I heard you speaking then. And I heard you speaking about the language, and I heard you took us to the school that was teaching your language. Thank you for the gifts that you brought us then. Thank you for listening to your words today. Thank you for the fact that you are still here, holding that, and for all that has happened in the interim. Nā rira. Tēnei te mihi.
Oh, shit. Great to see you. Great to see you. Oh, sure.
Marama mai kia mātang, te āpatanga o tui kunoho o te tangata whenua ki ringa i tēnei whenua. Nō reira, koinei te tino whakamihi atu i a koe mō o kōrero, mō o kōrero rangatira. I've just been overwhelmed by hearing what you've been telling us today. I don't know, you know, I can draw parallels at home. But I don't think there's parallels equal to what you've been telling us today, and it's unbelievable how things could happen. They talk about war being man's inhumanity to man, but I didn't think it would happen in your own land, you know. And that's what I just can't believe it. I really thoroughly enjoyed listening to you speaking in your own language, and I would love to learn that song you just sang for us, that song Before I Go Home, and I sort of caught some of the words, but I'd like to catch the rest of it before we go.
Yeah, okay. Alright.
And hey, thank you, kia ora.
We know it's easy to life around here. But we have strong people. I guess they call it Dilly. I guess it's
one of the great things though is that the young people are now learning the rules of the game of the other people. Right? Mm-hmm. And they are now using their rules to play them.
And their tools.
And they're gonna beat them.
They are. That's amazing. And there are two of them.
And that's what's happening where we're in New Zealand. We now have young people. We have become good lawyers and good accountants and good everything.
Yes.
And they are using their own laws to push for what should be right for us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I can see it coming through with your talk.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Lovely.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
How many people speak your language now?
Maybe 40.
Okay.
At the most.
Yeah.
And some of them are halfway speakers. But they're coming. Yeah.
And little kids as well.
Little kids are speaking. They're speaking. You know, they're getting better and better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, we only have it up to grade 2 for now. But it took a struggle just to get that far.
Mm-hmm.
I had a strong young daughter-in-law came out of university, and her and my son, they started the immersion program, daycare. Then it moved up to kindergarten, and then into grade 1, now grade 2. And we have a bunch more teachers. I'm teaching a bunch of more teachers again. So, yeah, we have enough to keep us going right now, but we need some more again to grow a little bit bigger, you know, more teachers yet, and support workers. We need a newspaper and we need a radio station, and that'll be nice. So I'm working on that one.
Good one.
So I have early talks happening on the radio station. It's a podcast, so it might be not so complicated nowadays. Yeah. I think some people from UVic are going to help us with the podcast. So. And the newspaper, we'll work on that ourselves. Yeah. So I want them to be able to pick up their own language to read, their own news, our own news, you know. Not always Juanitam Kan, our English, right? English language. It's not ours, really. It's just a borrowed language. And we have very, I don't think there's anybody speaking language in the house with their kids. Well, some of our new parents, are like our young parents, are with their kids. That are teachers now, but it's been a lot of trauma in the village, in the villages. So you know, there's still a lot of that loss of language trauma happening still. And I remember what it was like when I couldn't speak. I was devastated. I was embarrassed. I was crying. Actually, cried to the Creator to help me learn, and you know, prayed about it. And that's what I teach them. I teach them to pray about it. If it means it, pray about it.
Mm.
Pray in your language every day, and every day your prayers are getting longer and more involved in how you want to be able to say things.
Mm.
You know, it's a big part of our teaching. Because our language is spiritual, whether we, you know, it is a spiritual connection to all things. Whether it's a tree, or a fish, a deer, a mountain, a body of water, we can speak to it because our belief is that it has a human aspect of it. It has a spirit. I'm glad that you came out to see this little place.
Beautiful.
It's a beautiful little spot, this one.
Beautiful.
And it's always calm like this year round. It could be, if you go outside there now, it'll be so windy and rough you can't go across. You can't go across the big bay, but and then after November, don't bother going out there because you can flip over. So that's why this was an important little inlet to the inside where the hunting ground is and this resource of food here. Of course, on the other side of the hill now, there's a garbage dump from Victoria, and it leaches down into that little creek, and they've pretty much spoiled this inlet for clams. They're still there. They're big, but they're not worth eating. And it's just real destruction. It's just terrible, you know. And our folks, our families could come here and get clams anytime, and they were so clean you could eat them straight off the beach, raw. It would never bother you. Now, when you go to dig clams on any beach, they hand you a pollution map and they say, here's where you can dig and here's where you can't dig. And there's no reason behind it. For everybody that develops something, builds something, there should be built into the system a way of keeping everything clean. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. People that live by the water, then they should pay more to keep that water and beach clean. Some kind of a filter system so they're not flushing right into the beautiful places, sporting mm-hmm. the beaches. Because they throw everything in those drains nowadays. Yeah. Well, those are the things we're still fighting on the street. Trying to straighten out. I'm always talking. I'm always speaking out because that's what I believe, that it could be beautiful again. If all people work together, if every stream can be clean, there's no reason to have a destroyed stream. It should be known as an educational place, a prayerful place by all people. And then when people think like that again, it'll be clean again. You can walk into any of these forests and drink water out of the little ponds you find out there. When I was young and going hunting, my mom said, and if you come across a body of water in the forest, she said to me, she said, don't just go down and drink water like this, she said, in that pond. Dip the water like that, and turn away, and drink it. That body of water has a spirit, you must respect it, she said. That was the teaching. I'll sing a language survival song, and then we'll let you go back. Language survival prayer song.
We don't want to leave.
Yeah, it's going to get windy. Stress is that lady, this way. Yeah. Oh, ho, yo, hui. Oh, ho, yo, ho, yo, hui.
We're not leaving yet.
I don't know, did that thing turn off?
That's right, I don't know.
I don't know either. Oh, it's still going. Oh, well, it's all good.
Soaking it up.
Yeah.